nothing who could ever stop us. And if our God is with us, then we can stand again. If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then we can stand again.
As we continue our worship this morning, greet one another. This morning. Well, last week we sang two verses during our greeting time, and it seemed like too short. This week, was the three verses good? Give you enough time to talk? All right, so three verses. We'll keep that in mind. So we do want to say good morning and welcome to you all. We've got school has already started for some. Others will start this week, so again, we want to be in prayer for our students that are going back. They can get back into the routine, and our teachers and our staff for all our different schools as well. So just be in prayer that they can get adjusted and get back into that routine fairly easily this coming week. I've got a lot of announcements that I need to touch on. Some are not in the bulletin. Some are updates on some of the stuff that's in the bulletin. So first one, it says we got small groups tonight. We do not have small groups. We do have our regular service tonight, but directly following service tonight, we are going to be having a kind of an informal fellowship. Brett and Mindy Caldwell, as most of you know, have been with this church for quite a while, and Brett and Mindy, the last year and a half or so, have been doing our children's church ministry during the service. Upstairs, well, they are getting ready to move to Florida. So their last Sunday is actually today. So this evening, we would like to do a card shower for them, kind of to send them on their way, give them our best wishes. So be prepared to come tonight, 6 o'clock, and then directly following service, we'll have that fellowship time with them.
Let me interrupt just a minute. I just got this late last night, and okay. So this is a good time since you're talking about this. This is from Brett and Mindy. Says, I'm not certain I'll have the opportunity to say a few words to the church on our family's behalf because they're working in children's church this morning. So I wanted to send you this note. Dear church family, it is hard to express in a few words all that you have meant to us as a church family. From the dedication of our daughter Autumn to the ability to teach and speak into the lives of the children in the children's church, we have been blessed with love and support. There has been no more clearer than these last 5 months. From the time I posted on Facebook that I'd been laid off to the day, I've got to find myself here. Sorry about that. From the time I posted on Facebook that I had been laid off to the day I posted that I had accepted a position in Florida, this body of believers has prayed for us, helped us financially, and has stood with us through every storm. It is a bittersweet moment knowing that this is our last day here as members and as the Children's Church directors, because while we are thankful for the job and the ability to move closer to my family, it is hard knowing that we will be leaving such a great church and family here. You have helped to watch our daughter and to speak into her life. You have given my wife friends through the ladies' ministry that she will have for a lifetime, and you have given our family love and support that cannot be measured. I want to also take time personally to thank you all for the ability to teach the teen Sunday school class, to preach at various times, and to lead the children's church. While this has been one of the many ministry positions God has blessed me with, it is one that I will remember the most because it stretched and taught me, hopefully, as much as I was able to speak into the lives of others. Now our path diverges to a new place, but we are never far, and we will be back. God will always have this place on our hearts, and our prayers will always be that God blesses you as you have blessed us. If you are ever near Melbourne, Florida, look us up. We'd be happy to see you again. With God's blessings and our love, Brett, Mindy, and Autumn Caldwell. So we will have that fellowship tonight. And again, speaking to this issue, we are really in need of people who are interested. Miss Mary Willard, our children's ministries director, has kind of felt led to take over some of this children's church responsibility. But we have a very, very urgent and great need in two areas. Sunday school teachers in the children's ministry, one in particular in pre-K and K, and then also those who are willing to help during this time, maybe on a rotation, as children's church workers. So if indeed you have interest in doing that, see either Miss Mary or Ben or myself, but pray about that. Let God speak to your heart. Don't blow that off, because we are in urgent need to take care of our children.
Yes. Speaking along those lines, there is actually a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center for any of you that are interested in helping out in any aspect whatsoever into the children's department. Stop by the Welcome Center. Put your name down. Put what you'd be willing to do, whether it's part-time, full-time, fill in, if you just like to help out, be an assistant, whatever. Like Pastor Gary said, we are in such a dire need of workers in our children's department. The lives of our children are so very important, especially at a young age. So please pray on it. If you've helped out at any time, we thank you, but we are in dire need of some workers going forward for our children's department. This Thursday, our senior adults have a potluck luncheon here at the church at 12. Miss Linda asked that I would let you all know if you can be here at 11 to come a little bit early. Those back-to-school packs that we are putting together to send out to the mission field, if you guys can be here at 11, they'll be putting those packs together, and then they'll have their fellowship and lunch there at 12.
Lunch, sandwich type items.
Yeah. So that'll be this Thursday, 11, 12 o'clock for our senior adults. Then this Friday, our ladies' fellowship is having a get together at Cheryl O's house. It is a pizza and pool party, but you don't have to necessarily swim. But Cheryl is needing a head count to know how many of you ladies that will be there. There's a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. It is $4 a person to help cover the cost of the pizza and soda. And also, if you'd like to, they're going to order the pizza from Pizza Hut. Go ahead and write down what type of pizza that you would like, and they'll try to accommodate. Again, you don't have to swim, but please come and fellowship with the ladies. Cheryl told me to say that God has seen you in your birthday suit. He doesn't care what you look like in a swimsuit. So that is the ladies' fellowship, 6 to 9:30 on Friday. So, and if, I'm going to have go ahead and have Cody come. We've got one of our biggest summer outreaches going on this coming Saturday with our carnival and car show, and we're still in need with some help with that, and Cody's going to let you know.
All right, like Ben was saying, this weekend, coming up weekend, is the carnival, and I still need lots of help. And so Friday night, if you are able to help out while the ladies are sitting by the pool eating pizza, not swimming, I need some help here at 6:30, putting up a couple of tents and setting our fences up like we normally do. And so that normally takes about an hour, hour and a half tops. And if it rains as much as it says it's going to this week, we may not even have to use sledgehammers. We can just throw them in the ground and we'll be good to go. So if you can show up at 6:30 for that, that would be awesome. Again, just show up that, bring your sledgehammer and just a willingness to work. And Mr. Ted and Mr. Scott are kind of heading that up. And we'll be here at 6:30. Then on Saturday, normally I don't have everybody show up till about 11 o'clock. I'm going to change that this year. I would like to have all workers here by 10:30, because I would like to be. It takes us about an hour. Other people get there a little bit earlier. I know Bob Mead and myself will be here early, setting some things up. You can come earlier to help if you would like. But as all of our workers, I would like us here by 10:30 because I would like to be done with setup by 11:30. One of the things that has happened in the past is we always try to stop and pray. And I feel like that's very important. And I feel in the past couple years, we've been rushed in that. So my goal this year is if we could show up just 30 minutes earlier to make sure we have all the work done, then we can take time to stop, catch our breath a little bit before the event goes down. And most importantly, to pray about the event and that God would have his hand and the people that are going to come through in that. Our plan right now is that if it rains, it's going to rain, and we're still going to have the event. And if it rains us out and we're not able to be outside, we're still going to bring the people who are here to come inside, hear the gospel message. We're still going to do our basket giveaways and all of that stuff. But just so you know, as you're maybe you're worried about the weather this week, we're going to have a carnival, rain or shine. So So we're not going to cancel that. As we go into the year and as our church becomes busy with school and all the other things that happen with families, it becomes harder and harder to reschedule that. So we've put the time and effort in, and we're going to try to make this thing happen. Out in the fellowship hall, in the foyer, in the vestibule there, there are sign-up sheets. I still need workers for inflatables and games. Pretty much every other area people have signed up for, I've got those covered. But I need about 6 to 8 more workers. I'm short on people to help handle the inflatables and games and such. And then also, there are quite a few blanks left on our donation baskets. If you guys would check out, some people started bringing stuff in today. If you wouldn't care to check on that to see what we need, if you aren't able to go shopping and you would like to make a donation specifically to say, hey, here's what we need to, take this money, go get something for the baskets or whatever, I can take that. You can turn it into I'd rather you turn it into the church offering and have that marked, earmarked, so we can keep track of that, kind of to know what we're taking in on that. But that is still a need that we have. I do not need any more 2 liters of soda. I've had a gracious donation given, so those are taken care of. And so basically just what's out there for the baskets. And I believe that's it. Just look forward to having a good time representing our church to our community. So if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask.
All right, and then lastly, August 27th will be another busy Saturday. We've got our men's ministry breakfast here at the church at 8. And then we have our annual fish fry out at Pat and Carolyn Stevens' house. There's, again, a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. That Welcome Center is a popular area. We need you all to go out there, sign up. Tell us what type of sides you all be bringing.
Do you want?
I like pie. This guy likes deviled eggs, which I do as well. So there's a sign-up sheet, and then there's another slip of paper that has directions to their house. That will be on the 27th at 5:30.
Dan, you and I did not get a chance to finish our conversation. What did you decide about the men's ministry breakfast? Are we going to postpone that till the next month because of the fish fry that night, or are we going to go ahead with it? We're going to go ahead? Okay.
We're going to do it. Reminder for the fish fry, bring a long chair, something to sit on. There's always a mean game of washers that some people like to cheat at. And there's usually a game of horseshoes as well. So it's always a good time in fellowship, but that'll be the 27th at 5:30 at Pat and Carolyn's house.
Well, now we're going to get serious. I don't know how many of you, a lot of you are new, and I don't know how many know that as a church we support two children overseas. One of them is Yennefer, and the other one is Bipole. And we have a letter that came for Yennefer, but before I read that, and there's a picture in here also because she's learning to sew, as you will hear in the letter. So I'm going to post, I didn't get with Mike soon enough, we couldn't get this up on the screen, but I'll post these pictures out on the missions bulletin board because it's kind of cute. We also help feed 30 children a month. So just so that you know that that we're greatly involved in missions in this church. The letter from Yennefer reads, "I am greeting you with lots of love wherever you are. May our Lord Jesus Christ pour out his rich and abundant blessings. Through this letter, I want to thank you for the help you give me. Also, I want to tell you that there was a class in sewing at the church on behalf of the Compassion Program. I go on Fridays, and I have made two kinds of skirts, and I have made a close-fitting skirt and a skirt with a slit. I am sending a picture. Thank you for your help. Bye for now. May God bless you today and always." So it's really important that we help these kids. One of our kids is the young man is in a pastor's family. And we also help feed that family and give them, crisis care kit type things for them and that. So it's important that we're doing this. And I hope that everyone will look at these pictures out on the bulletin board. They're cute.
I don't know what to say this morning. I've already been referred to as a cheater, so I'm not sure where that goes from this point. But we will be letting you know about the ministry in Alaska in the next few weeks and let you know what was accomplished there or what we hopefully accomplished. I did get in a little fishing, so we kind of kept things on the equilibrium there. So. And don't miss the fellowship of the church. Whatever you'd like to be involved in, we'd love to have you involved. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the privilege of returning unto you the portion that you have asked for. Break it, use it, give guidance in the use of it, and we give you the praise. Amen.
Drawn to thee, draw me near.
God is good, isn't he? all the time. Some of you remember that every time. That's good. He is indeed a wonderful to us, better than we deserve. But aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally? That He has a grace that is abundant, mercy that is overflowing, and that He is not looking to get rid of us. He's looking to gather us in. When we have the opportunity to gather in His name, at His house, in His place, what a wonderful time it is to sing praises to Him, to fellowship together, to enjoy His presence and His Spirit is a wonderful thing. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to be mindful of those things indeed that are printed within our prayer concerns in the bulletin. We want to remember those who are away from us, sick. I understand Isaac Carricker is sick this morning. And you can't get Isaac down very quick. He's a house of fire. But he is sick. Justin had to go back home and take care of him. We've got several that are out this morning for various reasons. And we're thankful for all of our visitors who have made it in this morning. We hope that you'll lose that label really quick and just make yourself at home and be one of us this morning. It has been an interesting week. It's been a challenging week in many ways. We continue to remember Bert Mills, who is in rehab and recovery at the Maples, and we hope for her to be able to make it back into the Nixa area to the Bradford before too many days go by. And then also Joanne Sissel, which is Deborah Gill's mom, is in the hospital now, matter of fact. Over the weekend, they found an infection, some dehydration, but she's doing better, and so you pray for them as they are with her at the hospital this morning. Pray for Joanne Sissel. And then I'm sure that most of you have heard by now that Brother Ray Burke passed away this week, and so Bonnie is home with her family. The visitation was yesterday. All this has happened very quickly, and the funeral service will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow at Walnut Lawn Funeral Home. And Pastor Don will be officiating at that service. He and Ray have known each other since they were little ornery guys. And so you know this will be a challenge for him emotionally. Ray was one of his best friends. And they've done church together many times. Don got to be Ray and Bonnie's pastor for a while. And then, of course, again, here's our associate when Ray and Bonnie came here. But you pray for the Burke family and the loss. We will miss Brother Ray. And he was a great part of our church family, and so you pray for them. And the question has been asked about food. Bonnie said that she has been overwhelmed, so she's asked for no more food. She has plenty of food, so that's taken care of. And she thanks you. She wanted me to tell you, I talked to her this morning. She wanted me to tell you how much she appreciated you coming to the visitation, for the various things that you have done, your expressions of love already, and she thanks you immensely for those things, and we appreciate that very much. So keep those things in your prayers this morning. Indeed, be praying for our car show and carnival, the Faith Family and Fun Day on Saturday. If you really want to make one main prayer, well, two things. First of all, the most important thing, whether it rains or doesn't rain, we want people to come to Christ. That's the most important thing, is that people find Jesus. But you might pray for good weather, and that would help us. And so we have been promoting in the community, and I talked to some folks last night at the Cruise Inn over at the Cruise Inn USA that are planning on coming. I saw some beautiful cars that are going to come, but those are people that we'll have a chance to minister to. And so our community has been invited, and there are people that come every year. And so we're looking forward to that event, and thank you so much for coming and being here with us today. We're going to sing together. These altars are open to you. If you have a need of a place to pray, just to lay down a burden or to lift up a praise to the Lord today, you feel free to find a place at these altars. No one will bother you. No one will come to you. And after we conclude singing, then we'll lift our voices together in prayer this morning to the throne room of God.
In your presence, we will find.
Father, we are indeed a blessed people. And so we come with thanksgiving in our hearts today. We sing your praises. And in our hearts, we bow before you at this time, acknowledging that you are the most awesome God, able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. You're the great, sovereign, creator God of the universe. So, Lord, why do we worry about stuff? If we truly trust you, if we truly yielded our lives, Lord, why do we need to worry? For you, Lord, look after us. You comfort us with your rod and staff. And even at times like this week when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there for us. Give us strength. Lord, we indeed pray for the Burke family today that you'll do just that, that you'll comfort them. Lord, we pray for Pastor Don. We know this is a very special friend of his. And Lord, we pray that you would give him the most wonderful, helpful, comforting message to share with those who will be in attendance tomorrow at this memorial service. Lord, we pray that when he steps to that podium, that he'll know that the voice of God is speaking through his lips, and that he's reaching out and comforting, and that he's strengthening, and that he's giving direction. Lord, we pray that that the things that people hear would encourage them to know Jesus like Brother Ray did. Lord, we have the opportunity today. If there's anything between home and heaven, we have an opportunity right here and right now just to submit ourselves afresh and anew to you. Lord, to say we want to be obedient to your word. To say, Lord, we want to be like your son Jesus in every way. Lord, you can help us to do that. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers that you safely brought our work and witness team home. We thank you for what was accomplished while they were on the task. Thank you for bringing them home, and we look forward to them sharing with us in the near future. Father, we thank you for Brett and Mindy today, Autumn, for their time with us as part of our church family. And we pray this week as they begin to pack and to put things into a truck and get everything ready to head to Florida, and you indeed will bless them in this new job, that you will bless them as they seek out a church home, and to bless them as they have time with Brett's family, Lord, over these next days and months. And Lord, we pray then that you would lay it on the hearts of our people. You know the need that we have. We want to minister to the entire family. And Lord, we have children's church and Sunday school. We need people to step into those positions and say, I'd be willing. I don't know if I even have the skills, but Lord, we'll resource those people. We'll help them. And Lord, we need to find availability, willingness. And so, Lord, you speak to their hearts today. Those who need to perhaps sign up at the Welcome Center to help with children. Lord, we pray for Faith, Family, and Fun Day. Lord, we pray that it will be a day where we get to minister to many, many people. And that we can give them all these free things to remind them that God so loved the world, He gave His Son. Lord, that's the message we want to get to them. That there's a God in heaven who loves them, cares about them. But Lord, we must submit our lives to you. We must accept you as our personal Savior. So help us, Lord, to get that gospel message across. But in the process, Lord, help us to have a lot of fun and to be a blessing to our community. But Lord, it takes workers. It takes investment. It takes sacrifice of time and energy and money to make these things happen. But Lord, we're trying to carry your love to our community. So help us, Lord, to just do the best we can and to indeed love on people. Lord, today, if there are those that are struggling for any reason, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, may they know that Jesus is the answer. And may they put their trust in you. And may they go away from this place victorious. May the enemy be defeated. Satan be destroyed in their life. And may the Holy Spirit fill them to overflowing with His power and His presence. That whatever it is the devil throws at us in this life, that we'll be able to handle it. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord, for for loving us. We know that you are all powerful and all sufficient. So we yield to you our lives this morning with the greatest confidence that everything is going to be okay. And we give you our praise in the name of your Son Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Is there anybody here this morning that has perhaps had their eyes glued to a TV screen at any time? Does anybody have any idea what might be going on this week and last? The Olympics. The Olympics. Well, let me, when we watch those world-class athletes compete, there's lots of things that go through our mind, like, I wish I could do that. But there's a reason they do those things, and maybe some of us don't, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But I think all of us can agree, and there are other entities that buy into this theme. But the thing I want to challenge you with this morning is to be the best that you can be. To be the best that you can be. And I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture to you this morning as we begin. And think along these lines. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And then I want to refer you to a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The latter part of verse 7, reading into verse 8. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Did anybody here perchance have their eyes on a TV screen about 8:24 yesterday morning? Young lady named Courtney Frericks, who came from Nixa, Missouri, ran the third heat of the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase and qualified for the Olympic finals. And she'll run tomorrow morning. Just so happens that Courtney graduated the same year as our youngest daughter, Hannah. And they were acquainted with each other and knew each other. And so that makes it a little more exciting for us because it's somebody we feel like we have some contact with. And for several years, those of you who know of my sound business know that Coach Brumley, who is the cross-country and track coach for Nixa, has contracted me to do sound at his cross-country events. And so I saw Courtney run when she was a junior high and high school girl. And so that's been exciting. What happens when you place in the top three at the Olympics? You get a medal. Anybody have any idea what an Olympic medal looks like? Anybody ever seen an Olympic medal? Okay, well, I'm going to help you out now. You can say that you've seen one. This is a genuine participant's medal. I don't know if they do these in every Olympics, but it just so happens this has an imprint on the back of it. This is from the 1980 Lake Placid Winter Olympics. This happens to belong to brother, actually I should say, he doesn't use this title much, but Dr. Al Roman back there was the director of communications while they were in New York for the 1980 Lake Placid Winter Olympics. So Al has been a very direct part of. He printed, helped print the newspaper daily for the athletes and the communications, all of the many languages that things had to be printed in and gave direction to all of that. And so he was presented with this participant's medal from the 1980
Lake Placid Olympics, so I'm being very careful with it. Matter of fact, I probably should take my handkerchief out and take all my body oil off of it and put it back in here carefully and put it away so that I'll not do anything to harm it. But thank you, Al, for loaning this to us for this message this morning, because all of us like to win prizes, don't we? Matter of fact, next Saturday we're going to gather. One of the reasons people gather is because they like to win prizes. They like free stuff. But these Olympic medals come at quite a cost. And we're going to talk about that a little bit and about being the best that we can be. You know, it's almost beyond comprehension. Some of the things that athletes accomplish. Michael Phelps, I think, has 23 gold medals. And more in total than that because of the others that he has. How many of you knew that the United States pays $25,000 for every gold medal? It's true. The Olympic Committee pays every athlete who wins a gold medal $25,000. $15,000 for a silver and $10,000 for a bronze. And then Uncle Sam, as soon as they arrive home, hits them for about 30% of that total and takes it away from them and gets it back. At any rate, that's life. But, you know, that's a pretty amazing thing. And so those of you who have competed athletically ever, you know, you have an appreciation for those folks and what they do. I want to share with you this morning a reading that I ran across several years ago. But I think it speaks to us this morning as we think about being the best that we can be. It's entitled The Winner. It says, "The winner is always a part of the answer. The loser is always part of the problem. The winner always has a program. The loser always has an excuse. The winner says, 'Let me do it for you.' The loser says, 'That's not my job.' The winner sees an answer for every problem. The loser sees a problem in every answer. The winner says it may be difficult, but it is possible. The loser says it may be possible, but it's too difficult. A winner listens. A loser just waits till it's his turn to talk. When a winner makes a mistake, he says, 'I was wrong.' When a loser makes a mistake, he says, 'Wasn't my fault.' A winner says, 'I'm good, but I'm not as good as I could be.' A loser says, 'I'm not as bad as a lot of people.' A winner feels responsible for more than his or her job. A loser says, 'I only work here.' So think about those things that you've said from time to time, and maybe we begin to define ourselves and our attitude and our spirit, and we begin to see what separates the men from the boys, so to speak, and indeed makes the difference between somebody having great success and someone settling for mediocrity or less in life. And so we want to talk about this morning some of those things that indeed can help us to be the very best. And as I thought about the Olympics and all of this that's going on, and as I've been excited about Courtney's accomplishments and those kinds of things, I was reminded, and I talked to the church board about this, matter of fact, Monday night, just of a couple of passages of Scripture, thinking about us and our connection to God and our wanting to share our faith. Our outreach is coming up Saturday, our wanting to share our faith here with our community. And I was reminded of a scripture in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." This is for anyone who's accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." And then if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 20, it says this: "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And so what we need to understand this morning is if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are no longer just citizens of the United States. The priority of our life is now that we have dual citizenship, and that the priority citizenship is our citizenship in heaven. And as a citizen of heaven, as a relative of God, then we have a responsibility. We are an ambassador. And so we are out here representing Jesus Christ to our world. We are out here trying to be the bridge between a lost humanity and a saving God. So how can we be the best at that that we can possibly be? Well, I think there's a correlation between what it takes to become an Olympic athlete and what indeed it takes for us to be the Christian that we ought to be. The first thing is, I think we need to set goals. We need to set goals. We need to figure out what is really, really important. Back in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if I read to you just a portion of verse 9, it says this: so we make it our goal to please Him. So important rule number one is, if I'm going to set goals, my main goal is to please God. To be quite honest, if I can accomplish that, everything else will fall into place. That's the truth. My goal is to please God. Matter of fact, Paul, we have a lot of respect for the Apostle Paul. And if we look into some of his writings to the church in Philippi, we realize that he made a statement to them about how important he thought this was, because in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, it reads like this: what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul wanted to be just like Jesus. Shouldn't that be our goal? That what we want to do is we want to become, as Jesus described in the Scriptures, we want to be one with the Father. That we want to be totally yielded and submitted. That like Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thine be done." And He went onto the cross and died for us. That when we wake up every day, that while we have agendas that we deal with as far as our personal lives, that the most important thing on that agenda is to say, "Lord, here's my plan, but first and foremost, what's Your plan? I want to know You. I want to be like You." And the truth of the matter is, that is not going to happen just out of our human willpower. Matter of fact, Paul spoke to that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" You know, a good part of the people. Now, Olympic athletes do a lot of things that we're going to talk about in a minute. But the bottom line also is, they've been gifted by God with some natural ability. They have some superior, you know, there's every one of us is different in many ways. And some of us are gifted at one thing and others are gifted at another thing. And God, you know, He's the one that creates and makes us all that way. And we just have to do the best we can do at what it is that we feel like God wants us to do. And here's the thing is, no matter how you compare to anybody else on this earth, when you're doing your best, do you know that God is very pleased with that? And it doesn't matter where your best compares to somebody down the street. God is not interested what your best looks like compared to their best. All God is interested is that you give Him all you got. And that we realize that He indeed is there to help us. Matter of fact, if we go back to that letter to the Philippians in chapter 4 in verse 13... we find those very familiar words, and I've literally seen these printed on some Olympic athletes. They'll have them on their shoes, or they might have it on their shirt, their warm-up clothes or whatever. But it says, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Not, "I can do everything because I'm so great," but "I can do everything because the One who can do everything Himself lives in me." I'm not operating on my own power. I'm operating on His indwelling Holy Spirit. And so my goal is to please Him. My goal is to find out what His will is. My goal is to be obedient to the Word and the will of God. My goal is to make God happy. To give my best effort with my wants and desires being submitted into whatever His will and desire is for me. Once we set goals, then this becomes the little more difficult part. But once we set goals, we need to commit to train. And this is where a lot of people fall by the wayside. I don't know if you caught it in the texts. I don't know if you've heard it over and over. If you've watched any of the Olympics at all, you have heard commentator after commentator, reporter after reporter, talk to them about the sacrifices that they've made. What do they do different? And you've heard about some of the hours and the time that is spent. I just want to quickly share just a brief article with you that talks about some of the things indeed that Olympic athletes go through in their journey toward achievement. There is the loss of time. Becoming a stellar athlete requires lots of practice and conditioning, and this takes time. According to CBS News, a 2011 National Collegiate Athletic Association survey found that student athletes train between 25 and 45 hours per week. This is time athletes could spend with friends, studying for classes, sleeping, traveling, and engaging in a wide variety of other pursuits. Moreover, the time spent training can leave athletes feeling exhausted. This exhaustion may cut into athletes' ability to enjoy their downtime. And the truth of the matter is, if indeed they are going to school, they do this and do their schoolwork on top of that. There's a loss of physical well-being. Constant training can lead to pain and overuse injuries, and sudden accidents such as falls can give rise to sprains, strains, and broken bones. Most athletes experience at least minor injuries, and many more suffer from occasional muscle pain and fatigue. Even after an athlete leaves her sport, she may continue to struggle with the pain of long-term injuries. All athletes risk sacrificing their long-term physical well-being. How many of you know that a lot of professional athletes end up being really messed up physically, you know, in their latter years? And these careers sometimes only span, you know, 5 or 10 years because of injury and because of the stress of competing at that level. My son Cody had the opportunity to play college football for a division or NAIA team, and of course there's Division I NCAA and Division II NCAA and Division III NCAA, and then NAIA comes in underneath that. And yet Cody told me very quickly, you know, when you're in high school, you get Letterman jackets. And you put on your Letterman jackets, all of your conference, all conference this and all conference that and all the medals and all that kind of stuff. He said, you learn real quick when you go to college your freshman year, you put your Letterman jacket in the closet and hope nobody ever sees it. Because once you get there, everybody that's on the college team was all conference. Everybody won medals. Everybody, you know. And he said, the game is a whole different game, speed-wise and strength-wise and smarts-wise and all those kinds of things. It is the athletes that excelled in high school that now become the average athlete in college. When you get to the Olympics, you're talking about people that are you know, the truth of the matter is, the people who don't make it through the preliminary heats are still some of the greatest athletes in the world. And yet they leave the Olympics oftentimes telling themselves they're a loser, when indeed they are far superior athletically than to the average person by all means. And it's always wonderful to hear of countries that welcome those athletes back, even if they didn't get the gold or any other medal, that they welcome them back and give them a great accolade and recognition. That's a good thing that they do that. There's a loss of physical well-being. There's social sacrifice. The participation in a sport requires strong physical fitness and a healthy body. Maintaining proper nutrition, though, can undermine a host of popular social activities. Athletes need plenty of rest and a healthy diet to be at peak performance. This means athletes may have to forego late-night parties and steer clear of sessions spent gorging on cupcakes or cookies. If you're going to succeed, sometimes you have to give up a lot of things. And there's financial sacrifices. Even at the lowest levels, being an athlete costs money. From paying for lessons to investing in supplies, athletes and their parents can shell out hundreds or even thousands of dollars per year. At the collegiate and professional levels, the expense is diminished or completely eliminated, but beginner-level sports are rarely free. This means there's a high buy-in cost for the chance at a successful athletic career. We experience this with all of our kids. Matter of fact, I probably feel somewhat guilty sometimes because our kids probably could have achieved more had I not been so strict about what they could and couldn't do. I'll even get into that. But it takes training. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes money. There's a lot of sacrifices that are made on behalf of an Olympic athlete. And I just want to tell you something. If you're going to be successful as a Christian, you're going to make some sacrifices. You're going to give up some stuff the rest of the world continues to do. If you're really going to please God, it's not going to be about you. It's about what can I do for God to help them. And this Saturday is like that. This Saturday, and I'm going to talk more in depth about this tonight, but all of you may not be back tonight. And so I want you to hear me. We're giving this Saturday to our community as a gift from God so that they will know that He loves them and wants to be a part of their lives. It doesn't happen without people working. This is not our day to play. This is not our day to come and put our name in the jars to win baskets. This is our day to come and work and present the opportunity for the rest of our community to have whatever it is we're offering for free. But it takes work. It takes preparation. It takes time. And our hope and our goal is that from that investment, they will give us a few moments of their time at the end of those 3 hours when we bring them into this sanctuary. And while they're all anticipating, I wonder if I won one of those 12 baskets. We will say, will you give us just a moment to let us tell you that God loves you? Will you understand that Jesus died for you? And can we help you understand that if you're facing challenges and difficulties, that there's a God in heaven who will help you be victorious in this life? And we'd like to give you the opportunity to meet Him as your personal Savior, to surrender your life to Him, and to be equipped for the remainder of your life to overcome whatever challenges you may face. God loves you, and so do we. That's pretty much what we're going to tell. Our prayer is that maybe there will be somebody who's never had anybody tell them that, that will hear it. Or maybe there will be somebody who's been told time and time and time again, and they keep pushing God away, and maybe that'll be the day that they say, okay, I give up. And they surrender their life to God. It's not about what people think about Nixa Church of the Nazarene, but it is about us representing Jesus. It is about us sharing God's love. And it's our day to work and our day to sacrifice in order of achieving the goal of somebody meeting Jesus. It doesn't come without sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says this: no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So sacrifice, those people who made the sacrifice, particularly those who get onto the medal stand, have you ever heard any one of them say, I wish I'd never won this medal. I'd just like to go back and party some more. Sure, there's some people that said, yeah, I gave up some things. And I look forward to being able, you know, I can't tell you the number of times I've seen some of those Olympic athletes win a gold medal, say, I'm done with my competition. The first thing I'm looking for is a cheeseburger. But getting the reward, achieving the goal, makes it all worthwhile. And I promise you, the first time you lay eyes on Almighty God and Jesus the Son, everything it costs you in this life will be worth it. So give your best. How many of you have heard that phrase, give 110%? I'm not sure how much that is because I didn't know there was more than 100% you could give. But the idea is also, you know, we hear that phrase, leave it all on the field, leave it all on the court. The idea is to not get to the end of something and fall short and realize the reason you fell short was because you didn't give 100% of your effort. Did we really give our best? Have we really given our all? If you look into 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it starts out with these words, do your best. Do your best to show yourself approved a workman. People are going to see who's put in the work and who's just tried to get by without any effort. We can tell the difference between the people who've made the repetitions, who've gone through the training, who've done the sacrificial things as opposed to the person who just walks on. You know, and we run into this. If you've ever coached a team as a volunteer or you've ever been a part even of a coaching staff, you know that what kids want to do early on, particularly in the junior high levels, they walk on the court and they say, let's scrimmage. Give me a jersey. And it's like, wait a minute, this is tryouts. We have to see if you can dribble. We have to see if you can throw. We have to see if you can kick. It's like, oh man, I want a uniform. Give me a uniform and put me in a game. But some people haven't earned the right to wear the uniform. And we are citizens of heaven. And we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. And so there's going to be sacrifices on our part. If we're going to be the best that we can be, we're going to give 110%. We're going to do our best. I'm reminded of a passage back in 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 21 that reads like this. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly. And so he prospered. Yes, there are people out there that in their God-given natural ability are better than us when we sacrifice and work our tails off. I have a son who is gifted with anything round. If you can hit it, kick it, throw it, do whatever. Cody worked his tail off and Cody had great accomplishments. And I'm very, very proud of him and all that he's done. But he worked his tail off. And Nathan could walk in. Gerald, you'll appreciate this. Nathan finished track season one year, and so one of his buddies said, or he finished basketball season, and Nathan never was really fond of running. He did it, and he did it well, but he wasn't fond of it. But at any rate, his buddy said, come with me and go to golf tryouts. Nathan had never played golf in his life. Ever. And his buddy said, I'll loan you my mom's clubs. So he went to practice and shot around with this guy's mom's clubs, and he went back the second day and dropped 11 strokes off his game in one day. Because if you could hit it, throw it, or kick it, Nathan could do it better than a lot of people. Because God gifted him. But let me tell you what that created. That created a poor work ethic. Because things came so easy that he could be ahead of the curve without working at it. And if you would ask Nathan to this day, he would tell you, if I'd have worked at it a little harder, I know it could have been even better. It's never a matter of how we compare to the people around us. It's a matter of how we compare to Christ. That's the standard. And whether or not we're giving our best, and God knows what he's gifted us with, and whether we're really working at it, or whether we're kind of falling short. And so let me give you three rules as we wrap this thing up. You need to set goals. You need to commit to training. You need to give your best. But here are three things to remember as you go about even that. In order to really achieve success along the path of life, in order to achieve success as in anything, but particularly as a Christian, never plan for defeat. A lot of people think they're going to lose before they ever go. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, My children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. In other words, God intends for us to plan to do things right, make right choices, live for Him the way we should. Now, He said, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Son. So God is forgiving and gracious. But the idea is not to presume upon God's grace and say, I'm going to give less than my best effort, and if I mess up, I'll just let God take care of it. The deal is to go out every day and to strive to do things right. Not to plan to fail. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 tells us that there's no temptation that comes to us that's not common to man. And the part I like the best is it says in there that God has planned a way out. Well, let me tell you something. Temptation is not sin. So if every temptation has a way out, then if you choose the way out, you don't have to sin. So if you believe you have to sin, then that doesn't fit into the Scripture. Because the Scripture says every temptation has a way out, and He will never give you more than you can bear. So when we sin, it's because we choose to go our own way, do our own thing, not listen to the voice of God, not follow the Holy Spirit. It's just strictly, we just have to look in the mirror and admit to ourselves, we did that on purpose. Now, there's places we can fail. There are times that we can be less than perfect, and it's not intentional. But the truth of the matter is, if we commit a sin, if we rebel against God, that's a choice. Never plan for defeat. And here's the other thing. The other side of that coin is never rest on your laurels. Look into that passage in Philippians chapter 3 again. It tells us there in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What he's saying is this. It's nice to look back once in a while and see the things that I've accomplished. And that's encouraging to me. It shows me what I can do. But number one, you never want to be crippled by failure because God can always move you on to success. And the second thing is you never want to get so wrapped up in your successes that you quit trying to just simply live. Live in the present. Plan for the future. There's a time to let go of the past. And never ever give up. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 22 says, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Not he who gives up halfway. I was watching that race yesterday morning. The woman who's ranked the fourth best runner in the entire world over the last year fell. In the middle of the race, she fell. In the fall, her shoe came off. She tried to put her shoe back on, losing precious seconds. Finally threw the shoe aside, crossed the finish line, out of qualification. She doesn't even get to go run in the final. 15 or 16 runners, I think, running in the final. She's not there. Fourth best woman in the world last year by time. But you know what? She could have said, I'm not going to qualify. She's run that race so many times, she knew what she was up against. She could have said, I'm not going to run the race. I'm just going to walk off the track. I can't qualify. If I can't qualify, I can't run in the final. If I can't run in the final, I can't win a medal. It's over for me. I'm going home. Do you know what? She was an athlete. She said, I'm going to finish what I started. The enemy will try to beat up on you. He will try to discourage you. He will try to deceive you. He will try to defeat you. I'm telling you, never, ever give up. Because your perseverance might be inspiration to someone else. your sticking with it might be the difference in somebody getting started or not getting started. We have a great opportunity every day of our lives, but at the end of this week, we will have an amplified opportunity. I talked to fellas last night with some beautiful automobiles at the cruise inn that said, "We're coming to your place. We're going to bring our car." Oh, I saw the most beautiful 57 Chevy station wagon. It's not a true Nomad, but it's a more unusual one than that. Hunter green, wonderful mag wheels. It's supposed to be here. You'll have to come see it. But somebody that's never come before. Bob Meade was out passing out flyers at Route 66 to all those hundreds of cars. He and Rhonda. Thank you, Rhonda. All for a chance to tell those people Jesus loves them, because no matter what they get on this earth, it'll be worthless if they miss heaven. And we don't want them to miss, do we? So we are responsible to be our best and do our best and give our best that they might have a chance. It's our day to work. But every day of this life, do your best so that you have the assurance of victory. So you can win the medal. Get the crown. A crown that will last forever. Amen. Stand with me. No music playing this morning. How many of us have gotten tired? How many of us are just trying to get by instead of giving our best? How many of us have quit making any sacrifice and have started believing the world's against us and God doesn't care about us, and we've started our whining and we've started our complaining and we've ceased to put forth our best effort? It's not what God wants from us. Do you believe that He can do exceedingly more than you ask or imagine? Do you believe that He can take the bad circumstances in your life and make good from them? That's the God we serve. I don't know how it will come. I don't know how long it will take. I wish I understood all those things so I could make all of you feel better, but I don't. But here's what I know. God is faithful. And He promised us He would be with us and never give us more than we could bear. So, will you give your best? Will you do your best? Or are you shortchanging yourself and God and everybody around you with a half-hearted effort and going through life discouraged and defeated? You know who gets the good out of that? The devil himself. And how many of you here want to help the devil? Not me. God's team's the winning team. I want to be on the winning team. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we can appreciate the effort of these great athletes we've watched from all around the world these last week and into next week. But Lord, you had Paul write in the scripture comparing the spiritual life to athletics and training. Lord, help us to make the sacrifices we need to make. Help us to get over ourselves. And help us to put forth the effort, do the discipline. And Lord, we pray that you indeed will bless us. And particularly, Lord, we know it's not any more important than any other day. Our church is not any more important than any other church that's telling the truth about Jesus. But Lord, if you could bless us Saturday with some good weather, we'd love to treat our community to the kind of free things that you give us in salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. We'd like to treat them to a free meal. We'd like to treat them to some free prizes. But Lord, more than that, we hope that that would earn us the opportunity for a few moments of their time to tell them that God loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. So Lord, here we are this morning. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do I have a relationship with God? Have I admitted that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior? Have I confessed and received Jesus Christ by faith? And am I walking in all the light that I have, and am I living sacrificially in a disciplined life in order to please God? Is that my number one goal, to please God? Or am I looking for God to hand something to me? Am I looking for God to be some kind of bellhop or concierge or some kind of person who's going to meet my every whim? Lord, we didn't come here for God to please us. We exist to please Him. Lord, these altars are open. If there's anyone here that just needs a place to pray, a place to catch up, a place to confess, a place to just ask God to touch them afresh and anew and to fill them, Lord, we have time for that. We invite them to come. For Lord, You love them, and You want to be a blessing to them. We thank You for the time that every person took to come here today. And we pray that this message would be inspirational to them, and that they would know that indeed God wants to help them be the best that He created them to be. And He's willing to abide within our hearts and help us do that. We don't want anyone to miss it. So bless us, Lord, we pray. May we live our lives for You and give You our best. And all God's people said, Amen.